Thank you, Father Anaya, and to all of you. And I would like to add my personal welcome and greeting, especially to those who have come to this Fatima conference for the first time. And you'll notice that we refer to our annual conference as a Fatima conference. We have the statue of our Blessed Mother, and we always wish to begin with either a brief review of the events at Fatima or an explanation of some aspect of the message of Our Lady of Fatima. And I would like to concentrate on two quotes in particular from the second apparition of Our Lady at Fatima, which was on June the 13th. She was speaking to Lucia about how she was going to take Francisco and Jacinta to heaven soon. "Yes, Jacinta and Francisco I will take soon, but you remain here for some time more. Jesus wishes to make use of you to have me acknowledged and loved. He wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart." And I think that is interesting that our Blessed Mother says, in effect, that it is the will of God that we have this devotion to her Immaculate Heart. Lucia was in dismay because now she was going to have to remain on the earth alone. "I stay here alone, no daughter, and do you suffer a great deal? Don't be discouraged. I will never forsake you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the road that will conduct you to God." So here we have in the second apparition two references to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and especially our Blessed Mother telling us that it is the will of God, "My Son wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart." So this is a very important part of the message of Our Lady of Fatima, devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So the question logically comes to mind, what exactly do we mean by having a devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? Of course, it means having devotion to our Blessed Mother, but the title of her Immaculate Heart conveys various meanings, and I would like to at least briefly explore those. But before doing so, a few other quotations regarding Fatima. In 1916, the three children had an apparition from an angel who identified himself as the Angel of Portugal. And during the second apparition, which was probably in July of that year, at the well behind the home of Lucia, the angel admonished the children for playing. And he said, "You must pray and sacrifice." And he went on to say, "The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to your supplications." So uniting the Sacred Heart of Jesus with the Immaculate Heart of Mary and pointing out the need for prayer and reparation. Also, after the apparitions, Lucia entered a convent. And when she was either apostolate or a novice in 1925, our Blessed Mother appeared to her several times between the years 1925 to 1929. There were a number of apparitions by our Blessed Mother, our Lord. And I'd like to recount one of them in which Our Lady appeared in her cell with the Divine Child. This was on, I'm not sure the exact date here. All right. 1927. She had two visions in which Christ himself appeared to her, confirming the requests of his mother concerning the devotion to her Immaculate Heart and giving her permission to reveal certain things, but not, of course, the last secret of the July apparition. That wasn't the one I was looking for, if I can find it. The one I was looking for, Our Lady appeared in her cell, I think in 1925, and the Christ child was with our Blessed Mother. It was on December 10th, 1925. The child Jesus was elevated on a cloud of light. Our Lady rested one hand on Lucia's shoulder. In the other, she held a heart surrounded with sharp thorns. Likewise, at one of the apparitions, I believe the second apparition at Fatima, Our Lady stretched forth her hands, and just in front of her right hand was a heart encircled with thorns. And she spoke about devotion to her Immaculate Heart. So she held again in her heart, in her hand, this heart surrounded with sharp thorns. In 1925, the child Jesus spoke first. "Have pity on the heart of your most holy mother. It is covered with the thorns with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment, and there is no one to remove them with an act of reparation." So we are finding here in the apparitions of the angel of our Blessed Mother in 1917, and again the apparitions of Our Lady to Lucia in the convent, multiple references to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and devotion to her Immaculate Heart. Now, this is not something that was completely new in 1917. In fact, there were three apparitions in the 1800s concerning the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The first was in 1830 in Paris, when Our Lady appeared to St. Catherine Labouré and showed her the image of a medal, what we refer to as the miraculous medal. And if you look on the back side of your miraculous medal, there is an M in the cross, and underneath it, the two hearts, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So again, here we have from heaven an indication of the importance of this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then 10 years later, our Blessed Mother appeared to another religious of the same order, the Daughters of Charity, Sister Jean Biscay Beru, and gave her or showed her the what we call the green scapular, what is usually called the badge of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And on one side, there is a picture of the Immaculate Heart, and there are the words, "Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death." One other apparition coming into the 20th century, in 1932 to 1933, in Belgium, Our Lady appeared to several children in Borang and was referred to as the Virgin of the Golden Heart because of the manner in which the children saw Our Lady with her golden heart. So again, many references in these private revelations, these various apparitions, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the importance of this devotion. What about the liturgical devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? The author, a priest who is called the father of liturgical devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, was born in 1601 in France. Now, many people think that publicly the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus began with St. Margaret Mary. And indeed, our Lord appeared to her in the 1670s, and through those apparitions, the devotion to the Sacred Heart was propagated far and wide. Before that time, it had been practiced, before the 17th century, it had been practiced by only a few individuals in convents, monasteries, like such as St. Gertrude. But it was actually before the apparitions of our Lord to St. Margaret Mary that this devotion was propagated by a French priest, St. John Eudes. And St. John Eudes, appropriately, has his feast day celebrated on August 19th. And I say appropriately because that's 3 days before the feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So I think it's a fitting tribute to him that his feast day is so closely connected in the calendar year to that of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So he promoted and wrote books on devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And if I can do so without boring you too much, I would like to read from the Lessons of the Roman Breviary, which is a short summary of the life of this saint that we should know more about, St. John Eudes. John was born in the year 1601 of pious and respectable parents at a village commonly known as Rhee in the Diocese of Sees. While still a boy, when he was fed with the bread of angels, he cheerfully made a vow of perpetual chastity. Having been received at the College of Caen, directed by the Fathers of the Society of Jesus, he was conspicuous for a remarkable piety, and committing himself to the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary, when still a youth, he signed with his own blood the special covenant he had entered into with her. having completed his course of letters and of philosophy with great distinction, and having spurned opportunities of marriage, which had been arranged for him, he enrolled himself with the congregation of the Oratory, founded by Cardinal de Berulle, and was ordained a priest at Paris. He was on fire with a marvelous love towards his neighbor, for he took the most constant pains in caring for both the souls and bodies of those smitten with the Asiatic plague in many different places. He was made rector of the Oratorian house at Caen, but since he had been thinking for a long time of educating suitable young men for the ministry of the church, earnestly asking for the divine assistance with a brave spirit, he most regretfully departed from the associates with whom he had lived for 20 years. Accordingly, associating 5 priests with himself, in the year 1643, on the feast day of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he founded a congregation of priests to whom he gave the most holy names of Jesus and Mary, and opened the first seminary at Caen. And Caen, by the way, is in Normandy, northern France, very close to Lisieux. And a great many others followed immediately in Normandy and Brittany, also founded by him. For the recalling of sinful women to a Christian life, he founded the Order of Our Lady of Charity, of which most notable tree, the Congregation of the Good Shepherd of Angers, is a branch. Furthermore, he founded the Society of the Admirable Heart of the Mother of God, and other charitable institutions. He was the author of many excellent treatises, and labored as an apostolic missionary to the very end of his life, preaching the gospel in very many villages, towns, and cities, and even in the royal court. His matchless zeal was very conspicuous in promoting the solitary devotion towards the most sacred hearts of Jesus and Mary, whose liturgical worship he was the first of all to devise, although not without some divine inspiration. He is therefore held to be the father, the teacher, and the apostle of that worship. Courageously withstanding the doctrines of the Jansenists, he preserved unalterable obedience towards the chair of Peter, and he constantly prayed to God, both for his enemies as well as for his brethren. Broken by so many labors rather than by years, desiring to be freed and to be with Christ, on August 19, 1680, frequently repeating the sweet names of Jesus and Mary, he died in peace. As he became illustrious by many miracles, Pope Pius X added him to the list of the blessed, and as he still shone forth with new signs and wonders, Pope Pius XI in the holy year 1925, and on the day of Pentecost, placed him among the saints and extended his office and mass to the universal church. So I know that was a little tedious, but I thought it important to read because it seems that this is one saint that is not very well known. And he should be known by us if we have devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because he was the first promoter in the church of these devotions. This devotion's history, that of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is similar to the history of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, where it began to be practiced by a few individuals, and then eventually there was a promoter, namely St. John Eudes. There was a liturgical feast established, and eventually it was extended to the whole church. In the case of devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, an attempt was made several times to have a proper mass and office approved for this feast, and that was denied, not being approved until about the year 1800. And I say about because I read 2 accounts. One says that the first feast, and at that time it was called the Feast of the Pure Heart of Mary, that the first feast was established in 1799 by Pope Pius VI. And another account I read said in the early 1800s by Pope Pius VII. Be that as it may, it was right around that time. And that was established only for certain dioceses that requested it. The Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary was not extended to the whole church until 1942. And I'll read another section from the wonderful book, The Roman Breviary. And this is a quotation from church documents regarding the reign of Pope Pius XII. The liturgical worship through which due honor is given to the Immaculate Heart of the Virgin Mary, and for which many holy men and women have prepared the way, the Apostolic See itself first approved in the beginning of the 19th century when Pope Pius VII instituted the Feast of the Most Pure Heart of the Virgin Mary, to be piously and reverently celebrated by all the dioceses and religious families who had asked for it. Afterward, Pope Pius IX added an office and a proper mass to it. But an ardent desire and longing, which had arisen in the 17th century, grew day by day, that namely the same feast, given greater solemnity, might be spread to the entire church. In 1942, Pope Pius XII, graciously according to that wish, and during the terrible war then ravaging almost the entire world, pitying the infinite hardships of men, and because of his devotion and confidence in our Heavenly Mother, in solemn supplication earnestly entrusted the entire human race to her most generous heart. And in honor of the same Immaculate Heart, he ordered a feast to be kept forever with its proper office and mass, as you know, on August 22nd. So we've only had the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary on the universal calendar as an important feast day, what we call a double of the second class. On the octave day of the Assumption, we have only had that since 1942. Now, to back up a little bit, in 1939, it was either January or February, but it was in the winter, 1939, there was seen in the evening, lasting from, I believe, 7 or 8 o'clock up until midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning, this strange light in the sky. The sky became all glowing and red. And scientists said, well, it's the Aurora Borealis. There were a number of problems with that, and this is what Lucia said about that. If I can find it, didn't quite have this marked. I wanted to read that, and now I realize I didn't have it marked. Lucia said, that was not the Aurora Borealis. That was the sign that Our Lady told me would be seen as a sign that there would be a Second World War. Remember, Our Lady told the children, the present war will end soon, but if my requests are not granted, there will be a second and more terrible war. And she had told Lucia that it would be preceded by a strange light seen in the sky. Many people were terrified at that light. And of course, as I said, scientists and meteorologists were trying fruitlessly to explain it. But there was no natural explanation for this divine marvel, which was an indication to the world that there had not been enough reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that leads me to a very important topic, and that is, what exactly are the characteristics of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? In other words, how do you know if you have devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Is it a feeling? Is it an intellectual thought? I must honor the Sacred Heart because it is united to the divinity as part of the humanity of our Lord, and so on and so forth. What is it exactly to have devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Well, theologians tell us that devotion to the Sacred Heart has two qualities, primarily love of our Lord and reparation. And those two go together. And the same thing applies to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So when we think of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we think of the symbol of love, the beating heart in our breasts, that is the symbol of our emotions and our love. So that beautiful symbol of the Immaculate Heart of Mary reminds us of the love of the Virgin Mother of God, which was so great that she willingly allowed her divine Son to be crucified before her eyes for us. Her love for her sinful children, her wayward children, is so great. So the heart is a symbol of her love and should excite our love in return. What about reparation? You notice that many of these quotes that I have given you from Our Lady at Fatima concerned reparation. The angel of Portugal saying to the children, pray a great deal, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to your supplications and telling them that they must pray and sacrifice. So reparation, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is a reminder to us of the need to make atonement for sin. We who have been given the understanding that we have of the true faith, of how much God is offended by sin, and how his arm is so heavy. As Our Lady said at La Salette back in 1846, what must it be today, nearly two centuries later? The arm of my son, she said at La Salette, is so heavy, I can hardly hold it back. I must continually pray for you. She also told the two children at La Salette, you will never know all that I do for you. And I like that sentence there. Because is that not like our own experience with our mothers? Who among us knows how much our own mother did for us when we were a little child? How many tears she shed? How many heartaches she experienced? How much fatigue our own natural mothers experienced in raising us and their concern and their love for us? Well, that's just a faint glimmer compared to the love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary for each of her children. And so we must love her in return, and we must make reparation. We tell our Blessed Mother that we are so sorry that so many do not love her, do not honor her, do not appreciate her love for them. So this is what we mean by the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I mentioned earlier St. John Eudes. The collected works of St. John Eudes run into some 20 volumes. And it's interesting because another dozen volumes that he wrote have been lost, sadly. His writings are marvelous, and I highly recommend them. This is a book entitled The Admirable Heart of Mary that I'd like to quote briefly to you from, written by St. John Eudes. And as I said, he died in, was it 1680? And then a century later was the French Revolution, and so many of his books were destroyed, and there were no other copies. So after the dust settled, the members of his religious order tried to gather together what they could find, and these books were assembled, and there are 20 wonderful volumes filled with wonderful thoughts. I remember reading one when I was a seminarian on the priesthood, and it was so uplifting for me, so instructive and helpful in preparation for the priesthood. But he wrote quite a few different volumes. This one on the Immaculate Heart of Mary, he treats of devotion to our Blessed Mother, and in particular to her Immaculate Heart, to that title. And I'd like to read a few sections. First of all, he says there are many meanings of the word heart in sacred scripture. First, the word heart signifies the material and corporeal heart which beats within our breast. It is of this heart which the Holy Ghost speaks when he says in the book of Proverbs, with all watchfulness, keep thy heart, because life issues from it. Another meaning is the memory. Our Lord said, lay it up, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before how you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to resist and gainsay. So lay it up in your heart, meaning in your memory. Another use of the word heart is the intellect, by which we meditate. Thus we read in the Psalms, the meditation of my heart is always in thy sight. A fourth use of the word heart in Scripture is the free will. Our Lord refers to this heart when he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. We must also understand by the word heart that highest part of the soul, which theologians call the point of the spirit. It is the seat of contemplation. And we read the words of the Holy Ghost that are applied by Holy Mother Church to Our Lady, I sleep and my heart watches. Seventh, the word heart, or sixth, the word heart can stand for the whole interior life of man. Put me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm. Seventh, the word heart can also signify the Holy Ghost, who is truly the heart of the Father and the Son. For we read in sacred scripture in the book of Ezekiel, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And finally, the Son of God, our Lord himself, is called the heart of the Eternal Father in sacred scripture. Thou hast wounded my heart, my sister, my spouse, from the Canticles. So this is amazing, the depth of the understanding that St. John Eudes had about all of the meanings that come together with the title, Devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Thinking of the physical, corporal heart of Our Lady, remember this, it was that heart that beat and brought, circulated the blood, that brought the nourishment to Our Lord in her womb as He grew and developed for 9 months. So we could say that we owe it to her heart for giving us Our Lord for His growth, at least during that time. So there are many different thoughts when we think of heart. But remember, the love, it is a symbol of the love of our Blessed Mother, and it reminds us, especially because she showed her children her heart surrounded by thorns, it reminds us of the horror of sin and the need for reparation. One more quotation from St. John Eudes. Just as everything in our Lord Jesus Christ is great and admirable, so also everything that concerns Mary, His Holy Mother, is replete with grandeur and marvels. Every part of the sacred humanity of the Son of God is deified and raised to an infinite dignity through its union with the divine nature. So likewise, everything in the Blessed Virgin Mary is ennobled and sanctified by her divine maternity. And as you know, the divine maternity of Our Lady, the feast of which we celebrate this coming Monday, is the source of all her other privileges, such as her immaculate conception, her complete sinlessness throughout life, and so on and so forth. So the heart of our Blessed Mother is ennobled and raised up by the wonderful prerogatives that she was given as she had been chosen to be the Mother of God. As I said, this book by St. John Eudes is filled with wonderful ideas, and I recommend it to anyone who would like to learn more and understand better this wonderful devotion. But I would like to conclude with a word of caution, and that is that I have heard before between certain Catholics a little bit of a discussion, a little bit of a debate, which title of Our Lady is better. I like this title, or I like that title. And they maybe will bring forth their various reasons for choosing the title of Our Lady that appeals to them. Well, we have to be very careful not to devolve into such kind of discussions, because all of the titles of Our Lady, of which the Litany of Our Lady is filled, and of which there are so many others in honor of her apparitions and her various qualities, all of them reflect and convey certain aspects of our Blessed Mother. And it is our Blessed Mother to whom we have devotion. It is Our Lady whom we honor. And so we have to be careful not to choose one title over another. That having been said, however, I would also point out that at Fatima, our Blessed Mother indicated that her son wished to establish in the world this devotion. And it seems to me that devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary really contains all of the other devotions to Our Lady, all of the other titles, all of the other qualities, all of her virtues, all of the thoughts that we have about our Blessed Mother. They really are all contained in this devotion and in this title. And if we honor Our Lady of Fatima, we are devoted to her message and are trying to live it. Let us remember that an important part of that message is devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And let us especially remember her words to Lucia. Especially during this conference, we are reflecting on how we go to God through Mary, to Jesus through Mary, ad Jesum per Mariam. Her words to Lucia, which can be applied to each one of us, especially in our discouragements. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the path, the way that will lead you to God. Thank you very much.